An environmental and civil rights battle flaring on the Great Plains is capturing the attention of Native Americans here in Michigan. In recent weeks, violent clashes have erupted on North Dakota's Standing Rock Sioux Reservation, where protesters are trying to block the construction of the Dakota Access oil pipeline. Opponents say the $3.8 billion pipeline threatens their health and their land. Native Americans say it violates their sovereign rights. Two Michigan residents of Native American descent join me now to discuss the situation. Dr. Dylan Miner is Director of American Indian and Indigenous Studies at Michigan State University. Welcome, Dylan.
Thanks, Mark.
And also with us, Dr. Winona Singel, an Associate Professor of Law and Associate Director of the Indigenous Law and Policy Center here at MSU. Winona, welcome.
Pleasure to be here.
Both of you are of Native American descent. I'd like to hear from both of you what you're thinking and what you're feeling as you watch the protests and the pushback out at Standing Rock. What do you think, Winona?
Yes. Well, I'm a citizen of the Little Traverse Bay Bands of Odawa Indians here in Michigan, and I have been very concerned about the Dakota Access Pipeline construction process. I think that it's important to recognize that the Standing Rock Sioux Nation, which is impacted by construction of the pipeline, has suffered tremendously historically, and what they are currently battling is the fact that they have completely been left out of a proper consultation process to identify areas of historic, cultural, and religious significance to the tribe leading up to the determination that the route should cross Lake Oahe, which is a dammed portion of the Missouri River, a half mile north of their reservation, the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe's reservation in North Dakota. And so this has put their drinking water supply at potential risk. It has also placed at risk their use of the water for fishing, recreation, for a variety of other cultural and spiritual purposes as well. And it's also of concern because the original route of the Dakota Access Pipeline was planned to cross the Missouri River at a location 10 miles north of Bismarck, North Dakota. But because of concerns about wellhead protection and drinking water supplies for the citizens of Bismarck, North Dakota, the route was altered to cross the Missouri River in Lake Oahe, just north of the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation. And so in making that change, the Army Corps of Engineers, which has jurisdiction to approve the crossing at Lake Oahe and the Missouri River, they abdicated their responsibility to engage in an appropriate consultation process to work directly with the tribe as required by federal law to determine whether the undertaking would have any harm for historic, cultural, or religious properties. And so that's a serious concern.
Mm. Dylan Miner, what do you think as you watch this situation unfold?
Sure. What I'm thinking now is particularly the ways that Dakota Access Pipeline and the indigenous issues happening on the plains are also connected here with environmental and native concerns in the Great Lakes, and the ways that resistance and opposition to Dakota Access, I think, parallels concerns we have here in the Great Lakes and the way that it links into mineral extraction here in the state of Michigan, whether that's the way that people are concerned with Line 5 as it crosses Straits of Mackinac, whether that links back into the 2010 Kalamazoo oil spill when Enbridge Line 6B had a 6-foot rupture in a tributary to the Kalamazoo River, or to the recent announcement by the state of Michigan with the decision to preliminarily go forward with the Back 40 project, which is an open pit, primarily gold mine, but a non-ferrous metallic mine in the western Upper Peninsula, which will affect the Menominee Nation and actually has potential to affect both sacred sites and burial sites for Menominee people. But because Menominee is on the Wisconsin side, there's some issues there as well. So as I see the things happening out in Standing Rock, I'm thinking about the way that it links back up here with issues in the in Michigan and the Great Lakes.
Winona, the heart of this conflict, for Native Americans at least, is about sovereignty rights, I take it. The U.S. government has treaties with a number of tribes going back close to 200 years. Can you put this conflict in North Dakota in some kind of historical context for us?
Absolutely. So the area which encompasses the pipeline route is the area of the tribe's traditional territory since time immemorial, and in 1851 and in 1868 there were two treaties, the treaties of Fort Laramie that the tribes entered into with the United States government. After the discovery of gold in the Black Hills, the U.S. government unilaterally abrogated the terms of its treaty, and it acquired and removed the Black Hills and all of those tremendously rich and important resources from the tribe's reservation. And so following that, the tribe lost areas where there was areas for shelter in the winter and game and other resources that were important to the tribe for cultural purposes as well as economic purposes. But then if you look forward in the 20th century, the Army Corps of Engineers developed the Pixloan project to build dams on the Missouri River. And so in 1958, the Owyhee Dam was built in Pear, South Dakota, and that caused the flooding of shorelands along the Missouri River, dramatically causing loss of 56,000 acres of land for the Standing Rock Sioux Nation. And so the tribe not only lost the Black Hills to unilateral treaty abrogation, but it also lost its most fertile, most forested lands where its community had historically been located on the banks of the Missouri River in 1958. And it did not receive appropriate or adequate compensation for assistance related to that loss. A third of the tribe was forced to relocate as a result of that, and the tribe was economically hobbled as a result of that flooding of their communities. And so given that, and the fact that that also occurred without any consent or agreement on the part of the citizens of the tribe, this is another affront where the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has failed to adequately comply with the federal statutes that we now have that require that consultation be conducted between a federal agency and a tribe to determine whether any undertaking will have any negative effects on historic cultural properties. And so in this case, the Army Corps of Engineers allowed the Dakota Access Pipeline Company, Energy Transfer Partners, to conduct their own review of whether there were any historic or cultural properties that were affected along the route of the pipeline. And that was a serious problem. They brought in experts who were outside the state, who did not have knowledge of the tribe, who did not work directly with the tribe. And so, unfortunately, what resulted is the route of the pipeline involved areas where there were burial grounds of tribal members, in addition to other areas with important archaeological and historic significance. And those areas were disturbed and damaged. And so this has been a serious affront and a serious, taking of important cultural property. So that's another area of concern that we have.
We're talking about the actions taking place at the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation in North Dakota, where a company known as Energy Transfer Partners is trying to build a nearly $4 billion pipeline through Native ancestral lands. My guests are Dr. Winona Single, an associate professor of law and associate director of the Indigenous Law and Policy Center at MSU, and Dr. Dylan Miner, director of American Indian and Indigenous Studies at Michigan State University. It's not uncommon to hear Americans say that we need serious investment in infrastructure in this country. How might you respond to somebody who claimed that this is important infrastructure that needs to go forward?
Right. Well, it is. I recognize, and of course, many tribal members recognize we need infrastructure. But I think if we're going to develop this infrastructure, we need to work collaboratively and respect the rights of all members of various communities that are affected, including federally recognized tribes, which have historic and cultural properties that are impacted and which have off-reservation treaty rights as well that may be impacted. And so the problem is that in this case, that consultation directly with the tribe was not conducted in accordance with the requirements of the statute. And so although we may, the infrastructure for the pipeline may be considered better alternative than, say, truck transportation or rail transportation. Nevertheless, it does involve serious risks that are associated with it. We have seen in Michigan the largest inland spill of a pipeline of crude oil on the Kalamazoo River. And so in North Dakota, there are over 300 pipeline spills in recent years. And so we know that there is an environmental risk associated with the transportation of crude oil through pipelines. And this pipeline will carry up to 600,000 barrels a day of crude oil. And so there's a serious concern regarding whether what would happen if there is a leak. And we also know that we do not currently have the technology to allow for a complete remediation in the event of a possible leak.
Dylan Miner, you alluded to concerns over mining here in Michigan. The Enbridge spill settlement is still in play. In fact, about 6 weeks ago, a local tribe, the Grand Traverse Band of Ottawa and Chippewa Indians, formally objected to some of the terms of that settlement. Are you following what's happening in that case?
Definitely, and maybe kind of as a legal scholar, Winona can talk to this more, but basically what the Grand Traverse Band has argued, and this goes back to the 1836 treaty, which basically what non-Native folks need to recognize is that Indigenous rights don't only exist on reservation lands, but there are actually treaty rights that are kind of off within within larger ceded lands. And so what the argument here is being made is that with the Enbridge settlement of what I believe was a $61 million fine, as well as some other issues going on, but basically Grand Traverse Band is arguing that they were never actually consulted in this, and that because it's affecting 1836 treaty lands, they should in fact be consulted in the process.
Well, Winona, let's try to take a look at the future here. Right now, the situation involves waiting for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to reconsider some of its previous decisions, and this was after the ruling of federal judge James Boasberg, who allowed construction to proceed, and after that, the U.S. Justice Department, the Department of the Interior, and other federal departments intervened. Are you familiar enough with these legal machinations to anticipate a particular outcome here? Are you more confident? Are you more worried about the ultimate outcome of this?
Well, I am worried about the outcome. I know that the Energy Transfer Partners has already engaged in construction of this $3 billion pipeline. And so they're trying to present a case that, hey, we're already have much of the pipeline in place. We are simply waiting to be able to complete portions of the pipeline where we still need regulatory approvals. And so I think they're trying to present a case that, look, this is inevitable and we've already invested significant resources. But that is not an excuse for failing to comply with federal legal requirements with respect to the consultation with the tribes under the National Historic Preservation Act, and that's also related to complying with the requirements of the Clean Water Act, in which case the Army Corps is relying upon a nationwide general permit to construct pipelines, but they did not engage in consultation with the tribes to determine the effects of any negative effects on historic or cultural properties when they relied on that nationwide general permit number 12 to build the pipeline. And then furthermore, in this context, they are refusing, the Army Corps is not looking outside the scope of the very limited footprint in which the pipeline actually crosses Lake Oahe and the land that they own on either shore of this portion of the water. The Army Corps is required to look at even areas that involve indirect effects from the pipeline. So the Army Corps should be required to look at the effects of the entire pipeline route to determine whether there are any negative effects for historic or cultural or religious properties that relate to the tribes. And so they have refused to do that. And so they should not be able to bulldoze over these statutes, just as they have bulldozed over the burial grounds of the tribal members in North Dakota.
We want to thank our guest, Dr. Winona Singel, is an associate professor of law and associate director of the Indigenous Law and Policy Center at MSU. Dylan Miner is director of the American Indian and Indigenous Studies Department at Michigan State University. We've been talking about their views. We've been hearing their views and updating the situation at North Dakota's Standing Rock Sioux Reservation, where the Dakota Access Oil Pipeline is hung up amidst protests and all kinds of legal machinations. Thank you, Winona. Thank you, Dylan.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.